Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The decades-long legacy of Cesar E. Chavez came crashing down after a five-year-long New York Times investigation revealing he had sexually assaulted various women within the movement, including minors, and the woman whose name is often mentioned in the same breath as his, Dolores Huerta. Huerta had two children from those rapes. The assaults and those children were kept secret to preserve the legacy of the farm worker movement. Even before the news broke, there were hints that something serious was coming. The annual Cesar Chavez March in San Antonio was canceled for, quote, a sensitive matter. Others quickly followed. When the New York Times article published, it was like a shockwave. The San Antonio organization that was founded in Chavez's name and that organized the annual march folded. Cesar Chavez holidays were canceled. References to Chavez in Texas classrooms were ordered removed. Cities began proposing name changes to streets named after the disgraced labor leader. Chavez murals were painted over. Statues were shrouded or removed. This rapid scrubbing of a legacy has historical repercussions. Celia Mota Casper is executive director of Latinos in Heritage Conservation, the only national organization focused on increasing Latino representation in historic preservation. Mota Casper tells us she's faced difficult questions about addressing the legacies of Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta with the eyes of a historian.
I think for many of us that have our entire lives looked up to these individuals, you know, both equally. For me, I fell in love with Dolores Huerta over the last 20 years when I started doing a lot of research on my own and expanding what I thought I knew about the farm worker movement. And she just rose to the top for me as being a Chicana warrior and this individual that was just fighting so hard for other people's rights. And so inspiring how she was such a public figure in the farm worker movement, yet so hidden at the same time. She did so much of the policy work and meeting with a lot of elected officials in DC, with the Kennedys and such. But it wasn't until recently that we really started to see her become a public figure and a known leader within, you know, the American eyes. So when this happened, it was just heart-wrenching, you know, for me, like all of us, and grappling with the history that we thought we knew, the man that we thought we knew and loved, and understanding that something horrible had happened within the farm worker movement that had never come to light. And the very person that was sharing this information was Cesar Chavez's right-hand person, Dolores Huerta. And for me, having that hit so hard and so upfront when you have such a historical icon that is still living and shared their story really made me stop and question the way that we look at history and how heartbreaking and how sad and tragic it was to hear about these women's experience in the fields. And yet how grateful I am that Dolores during her lifetime shared her story with us so that it wasn't hidden in the archives or wasn't hidden, you know, with her and taken to her grave. It was something really hard for her, and how it was that she was changing history and that story in real time. And how myself as a historian, I had a hard time with that. But as a preservationist, I really had to stop and question, what stories are we going to preserve? You know, if this story shifts, and it has shifted significantly, how can we stop and truly come to a reckoning with this and deliver a true and ethical history rather than a glossed over history?
Oh, right. I think it can easily be argued that the farm worker movement would not have succeeded without Cesar Chavez. But as you mentioned, Dolores Huerta was very much an equal partner. But again, going back to those times and even to some point to today as well, Dolores Huerta was a woman. And these victims of Cesar Chavez were women. And in that time, women were not taken as seriously as men. And if they were to have spoken out and made accusations, it would have reflected badly on them as individuals. And they, I believe, if I remember from reading the article, some of the women, when they approached other people to talk about what had happened to them, what Chavez had done to them, they were told to keep a lid on it because we don't want to risk the movement because it could put the future of the movement at risk. And when you read about why Dolores Huerta waited until this article came out, I think she turns 96 this month, it's because she didn't want to endanger the movement. So again, it's, you're trying to preserve that history and that legacy while you're also on this very delicate balance of, you know, how do I preserve my integrity and my humanity? Can you talk a little bit about how you interpret all of that?
Absolutely. Following this news, there were a few interviews that Dolores gave where she talked about this. And there was one that came out with John Quiñones. It was on ABC. And she speaks on during that time how it was such a delicate political time and how everything was so anti-Mexicano, anti-Chicano. And there was already so much vitriol towards our communities that even when women were placed in such vulnerable and horrible conditions like this, that she felt that the movement was so much bigger than that because any negative light would have then reflected negatively on the entire movement and not just Chavez.
So you did not want to hurt the movement?
No, I mean, you know, this is, there was so much, I mean, I knew in my heart that the only way that farm workers would ever get any kind of relief or what they were going through was to have a union.
So the damage of speaking up would be too much. It would hurt the movement too much.
Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine? I mean, because the movement was built by hundreds of volunteers that came in. And even, you know, convincing the farm workers themselves that they had the power to build their own organization. It was very, very hard.
I think that was also a really big learning lesson for me in that as historians and preservationists, we often look back and think on various types of movements, you know, think about various civil rights movements. We think about women's rights movements and things like that. And how it is that over time, these stories begin to evolve and expand. And one thing that I first kept saying to myself was, it's okay that the story is expanding. This is what Dolores is saying, and thank you, Dolores, for being so brave and sharing your story. Then, you know, we have to take that and help to expand that story and understand that, yes, historically during that time, there was a reason why she didn't speak out. It was a time where women were still staying at home. You know, there were still so many social norms. Women weren't outside working. And so Dolores, even being a working woman or being a woman speaking with men, being the only woman at the table, that alone was breaking so many social norms during that time period. So I think, you know, it's hard not to understand the pressures that she had without having that historical context, because it was because of Dolores and her being at that table, being able to speak out, that women like myself, you know, a first-gen Latina can then go, you know, and visit the White House or speak with elected officials and know that it's okay. You know, she was breaking barriers then. And so had she have come forward, given that historical context and the vitriol and just the abuse at various cost that Latinos, you know, were taking on just for being brown or not speaking English, that could have harmed their movement. And that's how deep she regarded the movement over herself and sacrificed her own story over a broader story.
Selah Mota Casper is a historian and historic preservationist. She's the executive director of Latinos in Heritage Conservation. When we come back, placing the burden of history on one figure can be dangerous, especially when that person's reputation is irreversibly, unforgivably tarnished.
Cesar Chavez is a part of this much broader history. And that is the risk that we take in really elevating, you know, a hero status as historians or community.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Trusted journalism matters more than ever. Including TPR in your will helps ensure thoughtful, fact-based news remains strong in Texas for years to come. Learn more at tpr.org/legacy.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. History is not written in black and white. It's a living, breathing creature whose narratives evolve over time. Some of the realities that emerge in newly revealed histories often have tumultuous effects, such as the recent revelations that labor icon Cesar Chavez sexually abused women and minors. The legacy of the movement he led with Dolores Huerta was left shaken, but not decimated. Historian Cela Mota Casper knows that historical truths can be difficult, but should not be silenced. She tells us we have the responsibility to tell painful stories while not diminishing the movements that are inextricably tied to them.
It's extremely painful to talk about this. It's for Latinos in the United States. Cesar Chavez was an icon, a hero, the only real working class, you know, hero that we grew up learning about. And that was a moment of pride. You know, we could see ourselves in that movement. We could see our parents in that movement, our tios and tias, abuelas y abuelos that, you know, were braceros or farm workers and would pick and go throughout the country. You know, we all could see a piece of our history in the farm worker movement and Cesar Chavez because he was the face during that time of the movement. And so as a historian and preservationist, understanding that the story evolved and it's much broader and bigger than we ever knew, and it's so hard and painful that that pain is part of what we need to tell that story. You know, there are dozens and hundreds of women, I imagine, that had to deal with sexual assault. And so there's so much yet that the story has yet to reveal, and it will over time and decades to come. And that will be the responsibility of historians like myself and others to hold it with integrity, to be truthful to it, and to continue digging and understand that, you know, history is ever evolving. We never know the full story. And that is part of the beauty about history, is that stories begin to unfold the more and more that we begin to research. And it really is central to the work that we do at Latinos in Heritage Conservation, because if we just took history at face value, well, then there would have been no Chicano movement, no farm worker movement. But we know that's not true. We know as Latino historians that it is our responsibility to continue telling those stories over and over and over. And from the perspective of various individuals, you know, women, children, trans women, LGBTQIA community, you know, what were their stories like? And in this moment, I really challenged myself and my staff to begin to think of what other stories aren't being told and what does accountability look like for us as practitioners to tell these stories. You know, we just started with, we hold ourselves accountable that this is hard, but yet we all have to do this work.
But there's also very much a risk to the erasure of history because, I mean, some of these decisions have been valid. For example, Texas ordered to no longer honor the Cesar Chavez holiday. There are streets named after Cesar Chavez. There's one here in San Antonio. There are efforts underway to take polls to find out what the community would like to have that street renamed. But what is a little bit more concerning is that there are school lessons that are completely eliminating references to Cesar Chavez, which could in effect eliminate education about the farm worker movement because Chavez and the movement are so tied together. Can you talk a little bit about maybe just this risk to this erasure of history because of this scandal?
Absolutely. I think it's important for us just to remember that Cesar Chavez is a part of this much broader history. And that is the risk that we take in really elevating, you know, a hero status as historians or community. We really begin to centralize one movement that was made up of tens of thousands of people, including women, including children, including, you know, the families that supported them. And to focus on that one person is a very dangerous thing. And we're seeing that unfold before us. Like you said, it's such a rapid rate that this is happening. I just encourage us to stop and pause and truly think about this and think about what it is that we are asking, you know, of our communities. And I'm so glad to hear that San Antonio is allowing community voice to lead that conversation. It's what I believe should happen. I think each community will have to heal on its own and process this within their own time and create a solution that's best for them. What I don't want is that we lose sight of the farm worker movement and the communities who built it. That history happened. We can't erase that history. So if you don't want to talk about Chavez and fully use him as this hero icon that we thought he was, that's okay. But let's not forget about the tens and thousands of people that were standing behind him doing this work. Or even, you know, Dolores's contributions and all of the women that she worked with as well doing this work. We can't lose sight that this was a broader movement and it's grounded in the truth. And that truth is what helped shape the lives of this labor, you know, history that we know of today. And it's a really big moment within the American movement and civil rights movement. This was a big movement for Latinos throughout the entire country, and to not teach it or to take it out fully would be a detriment to our educational system.
Well, I'm curious, Latinos in Heritage Conservation has an Endangered Latinx Places program, and I'm curious how this might be impacting some of those places, because I know that you occasionally will select murals or sites that may have relationships to the farmworker program or even to braceros. I'm wondering if any of these sites have been impacted by this very quick rebuttal of Cesar Chavez's legacy. You know, are murals that may have been selected by y'all being painted over? Or, you know, how are you approaching sort of this with some very historic sites like La Paz in California, which was Chavez's home and the headquarters for the United Farm Workers Movement?
Yeah, we're just taking it with a lot of care and precaution and taking it slowly. We do have some murals that we have worked with that do have Chavez on the mural. The communities themselves have yet to paint over them. And if they do, then we will honor that and move alongside of them and support the work that the community wants done. And so right now we have not taken any of these sites off of our list. We don't want to have one specifically that is Chavez centered. We do have a site that is thankfully more broader than that, where we talk about the farm worker movement and we center it on braceros. There was another site that we included in our Endangered Latinx Landmarks last year, also in Colorado, that was a housing unit for farm workers there in rural Colorado. And in that story, we centered on the farm worker movement as well. It really speaks to the ethos and the way that we work in telling a community-centered story to democratize storytelling and history. It's not the way that we work in focusing solely on one person. We rather focus on a holistic experience of comunidad. And so we're in a unique situation that way. But for the sites like La Paz, you know, there's a lot of conversations around that. You know, what is to be done? We at LHC are advocating for keeping it a national historical landmark and a national monument, and to honor the farm workers and the dozens and dozens of years of work that led up to that moment. I remember early on, I did question why it was being called specifically after Chavez, and we weren't recognizing Dolores Huerta, and there was talks around, you know, us eventually getting to that. But I think that it's a really big learning lesson for us as historians and preservationists in how it is that we name things and we honor and we commemorate, especially regarding a movement. And it's something that I keep going back to myself and continue to remind all of us of, is when we speak about movements, we're speaking about hundreds of people that made that happen at various levels of stakeholders that made this happen. And we cannot focus on one person, because a movement is not made on one person. It's made from hundreds.
Oh, well, thank you, Selah Mota-Casper, for talking to us on Fronteras today.
Thank you, Norma. It's a pleasure.
Selah Mota-Casper is a historian and historic preservationist. She's executive director of Latinos in Heritage Conservation. We've been talking about how to talk about Cesar Chavez in light of recent accusations that he sexually assaulted women and minors in the farm worker movement. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.